We're in the middle of a series that we just started last week, kicked off with Easter, called Defining Moments. And we're talking about how some moments are just moments, but some moments have the power to change everything. And the resurrection is the historical moment that changes everything in the universe. It's the thing that changes everything, has changed everything for me. If you've said yes to Jesus, hopefully it's changed everything for you. And we're talking about how to recognize those moments, how to react to those moments, and some other things along the way. And so we're going to continue talking about that this morning. And maybe you've heard this phrase before, the phrase, some things never change. You hear that? You've probably said it before, right? Actually, Jordan and I were texting back a little bit and back and forth this morning. He was teasing me and interrupting me when I was trying to get here, which of course Jordan would do. And he said something that made me laugh, and I said, some things never change. Because it feels that way sometimes, right? Like, stuff happens and it happens and it happens, and some things never change. Some of those things are like, that thing happened at Thanksgiving, and then you make a vow afterwards that we will never talk politics and religion at Thanksgiving again. And then the next holiday comes, and it happens again. Some things never change. Michigan will always have snow on spring break, at least while I'm home. Those of you who went away for spring break, I was home the last 2 years, and it snowed both years. The Lions will never win a Super Bowl. Right? Some things never change. But there are some more serious things than that in our lives that we experience. There are some things maybe that you've been carrying for a long time. The times, at least for me, when I disappoint myself and I say that about myself, or maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's a friend I've been walking with and trying to help, and then I'm disappointed, and then I say, you know, some things never change, but they do. And there are these moments, there are these defining moments that feel like they move mountains. They feel like everything changes. And often, like I said, if you were here last week, we notice them in retrospect. We see them when we look back, but we don't necessarily notice them at the time. What if we actually could see it in the moment? What if we could actually pay more attention to it? You know, sometimes there are these big things, right? So I was thinking about this morning. And I was thinking some big things that happened in my life. And I remember years ago, 1993, I was at Camp Geneva. It was my first day there as a counselor. And I was on what is now the Pine Side. It used to be just all woods. And I was a counselor there. And I met the other counselors at this little shed. And there was this girl. And she was cleaning out dead mice from the shed from the winter. And she was going to sleep in a teepee all summer long, only getting a shower on the weekends. And I was like, this woman is marryable. She could cook over a fire. you know, for some of us, there are those moments, right, where you're like, some of you, you're like, what? That was the moment for me. I knew, like, I'm going to marry this girl. And it changed everything. That's my wife, Trista. We're married today. She still cooks over a fire. Now I take care of the mice. another moment, some of you know about this moment, some of you don't. It's the reason that I'm here today. In January of 2005, I had taken a group of college students up north on a skiing trip. And my wife, because I was gone with college students on the skiing trip, I was a college pastor at the University of Michigan, and my wife went to see her relatives. I got back before she did from my trip, and I was at home, one of those rare moments of quiet, no children around. And I was just having some good time with the Lord after a good retreat with some college students. And it's the one time, two times actually, but the one powerful time which I heard an audible voice from God. And he said to me, you're done here? And I, of course, didn't say yes like I should when God speaks. But I argued with him for a while, not super long. But I knew that I was done in Ann Arbor. And I wanted to spend my life there doing ministry. But God said I was done. And I had no idea what was next. And this is a long story, I won't tell you it. But I came here next. And I'm here today. And if I hadn't noticed that moment, what we call the Kairos moment last week, a moment in which God breaks into history and changes everything, because some moments are just moments, but some moments have the power to change everything. We call those Kairos moments, and that's a Greek word. It's different than the word Chronos. Both are words for time. Chronos is the step-by-step kind of time. Chronos is that moment when God just shows up, right? Dead mice in the shed. Oh my goodness, what is going on in my heart? Something's not right here. There are those moments when God breaks in, when things change. my prayer for you this morning, as we go through this series, that you not only recognize some that are maybe you're in a Kairos moment right now, and you can hear God a little better and see him a little clearer. Or as you move into the next stages in your life and the next steps, that you're able to recognize God and you're paying attention to him. So we're going to take a look at a story in the scripture this morning. It's in the book of Luke, which is one of four of the stories told by people about Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 24. I usually try to get the page number for you in the Bibles. I didn't have time to do that this morning. So it's towards the back. If you're new to the Bible, that's okay. We want to help you. So it's a little ways in. You'll see it. Luke 24, or it'll come up on the screens. Now, this is a story. So last week we talked about the tomb being empty and the Marys coming to the tomb and seeing that the tomb is empty and the angel and the earthquake, this defining moment in history. And this is one of the stories that's recorded following that. There are a few stories. They're interesting stories. And we're going to look at some of those stories over the next couple weeks as our kind of framing stories. We're going to say, okay, this huge thing happened in history. How did people respond to it? It was a defining moment. What happened in people's hearts and minds? So this is one of those stories. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's where all this happened, where Jesus was crucified and rose again. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, Cleopas, asked them, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." Now, I'm just going to stop there. I read that a particular way, okay? You see, when you're reading the Bible, you don't know what tone of voice is being used, right? And so you can read it some different ways, and you got to kind of study and think and examine and figure out what's actually going on. So as I'm reading and studying this week, I'm assuming, and I'll get to this a little bit later, I'm assuming that these two men are incredulous, right? And so they're a little bit disdainful of the women. I mentioned last week that we men sometimes don't listen to women. Some of you experience that. Same thing happening here. May not just be that, right? But it's also this sense that this miracle, raised from the dead, come on, right? So I read it a little disdainfully. It could be done differently. So just an FYI about that. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then come enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, which is the first part of this book, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then, so that's the moment that's remembering the Lord's Supper. The thing that so if you were here on Thursday before Easter, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and it's that Passover meal that Jesus has that we do now in communion. So he gives thanks, breaks bread, and begins to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized them, how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. It's a powerful story. It's a story that's been told over and over throughout Christian history of these two men who are walking along and they don't see Jesus right with them. And what's going on? Now you got to give them a little bit of a break, because sometimes your friends and your family looks at you and goes, "Come on, why can't you see that?" Right? So give them a little bit of a break. But this is kind of what's going on in this spot, is they're missing the moment. There's literally this Kairos moment that's happening, and they're missing it. Now, just a little bit of background on this passage. It begins, it says, on the same day. So the story happens later on that Easter day. So this is super fresh. The women have come back. They know the women. Notice they said some of our women. So who are these men? They're most likely, they're headed away to Emmaus. What was happening was during the Passover feast, what would happen is the people in the surrounding villages, the Jewish people in the surrounding villages would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover together. And so they had probably come from somewhere else, from Emmaus or somewhere else, and they had come into Jerusalem for this experience. And maybe they knew the 11, and maybe the stories of Jesus had spread. Maybe Jesus had visited their village. And now they had come and they hear these things, and they're devastated because they thought he was the one who was going to rescue them from Rome. And that doesn't happen. And so they're disillusioned. And they're walking away, and they're wondering, what just happened? So I wonder, as I read a passage like this, I wonder, why didn't they see Jesus? You have to ask yourself that question if you put yourself in the story. If Jesus was right there, they had met Jesus, they knew the 11, they had probably seen him crucified. Why didn't they see Jesus? Many people have said over time that they were just so heartbroken. If you've been through grief, you know that you don't always know what you say or hear or what happens to you. And so later someone will say, oh, remember? And you'll say, no, I have no idea. I talked to numerous people so I talked about my grandma last week, my grandma Ruth. She passed away Thursday night. So thanks for those of you who prayed for her and thinking about her. So this week on Wednesday night, I'll be standing there at the funeral home and greeting friends that are coming by and those kind of things. And I remember talking to other people many times about that moment, and they don't remember everybody who came through. Why? Because you're so grief-stricken. Because it's so overwhelming to deal with the loss of someone you love. I've got four kids, two little ones, actually on the drive here this morning. I'm listening to them processing in the back. So beautiful. 10-year-old and 7-year-old. Hey, what do you think great grandma's doing today? Oh, I think she's dancing. I think she's jumping and running around. I mean, they had this whole conversation. They're processing, right? Because they're going through this grief. We go through it. I don't know that that's what's going on, though, in this passage. There is some of that. But I think there's something more about why they don't recognize Jesus. I think maybe they don't expect to see Jesus. They don't believe in the miracle of the resurrection. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he said, I'm going to come back again. And so when the women come, they're incredulous. They don't believe it. They're at least doubtful about it. In fact, they're so doubtful that they leave. They don't even stay to find out if it's possibly true. I mean, they knew the 11. They knew the women. These our women. You wouldn't use that phrase, our women. You wouldn't use that unless you knew them very well. But they leave. So it doesn't sound like they trusted very well. So here's what's happening. I'm going to show you a hand-drawn picture this morning, and I'm going to give you kind of a process of helping us to respond to these Kairos moments. So here we are. We're cruising along. That line represents Chronos time, okay? It's the time where we step and put one foot in front of the other. Chronos, tick-tock, tick-tock. And all of a sudden, something breaks in from heaven. God breaks in somehow with this Kairos moment. And not that one yet. Not ready for the one. Thanks. It breaks into this Kairos moment. That's the spot that we're talking about. And the question is, do we notice those moments in the time? And are we able to respond to them? And what do we do when we notice them? Because sometimes we notice, but we don't know what to do. Right? Well, that was mice in the shed. Now what? I don't know what to do with these fluttery feelings I have. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. So we're going to talk about what do you do when those kind of things happen. Here's the Kairos moment. Here's the scripture. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? Then Jesus asked a very important question. What things? What are you discussing? What things? So the first, here's what happens. Now you can put up that other picture. You're cruising along in Chronos time, and a defining moment happens, and you need to take an off-ramp. You need to take an off-ramp. Last night, I wanted to get home from Kentucky. I had my two little ones with me, and all I wanted to do was get home and get in my bed. That's all I wanted to do. I had a long week. I was ready to get in bed. And my kids wanted apple slices and chicken nuggets. Because I hadn't got them dinner. And I'm like, well, you can survive for another 6 hours. It's going to be fine. So we finally got to Indianapolis. Yes, I'm human too, all right? So we finally get to past Indianapolis, and we're coming around that sweet new thing around Kokomo. It saves you a bunch of time. Cruising around Kokomo, and McDonald's, finally. I haven't seen a McDonald's for, you know, like, my kids want to sleep. You know, I've been watching for like 40 minutes, haven't found a McDonald's. McDonald's sign. So we pull off, and the sign says McDonald's 3 miles that way. What? I don't have time for 3 miles and 3 miles and going through the line and everything. I gotta get home and get in my bed. I get this way sometimes. So we didn't stop at McDonald's there. You guys can stay up another half hour, get the tablet out, do something. So you need to take the on off ramp sometimes, right? Because life happens and we don't want to stop. We don't want to take the off ramp. We're busy. Been thinking a lot about this whole death and grief thing as my family goes through, as my mom loses her mom, you know, those kind of things. We don't even take a side road for death anymore. Family member dies and we quickly patch it up and move on. The first thing we do is take the side road. What things, Jesus says? Talk to me. Observe. What's happening? What's going on in this moment? What are these feelings I'm having? What might God be doing in the moment? Why did all of a sudden I stop in my tracks? I'm a piano player, and I used to listen to piano music when I was studying when I was in college, and it would kind of help me focus. So I'd be focusing, and I'd always be listening to this one piano player, and all of a sudden my attention would be broken from studying. And I'm like, what is that? It would always happen the same place in the same song. So one day when I wasn't studying, I listened to it. And there's actually a wrong note. And this is what happens. Your mind is so amazing. God has made you so brilliant that your mind catches things that you don't even notice. And so suddenly you're awake about something. You don't even know what it is. And so you've got to stop and go, what things? What just happened? Take some time to observe. Next scripture. He said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe. Thanks, Jesus. I know. It's true about me. All the things the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So now they've had this thing happen to them. They're now looking at it. They're saying, what just happened? Now Jesus asks them to do something else. He asks them not just to observe it. What's happening in this moment? What are the facts? Dead mice, shed, wrong note, God's voice. I mean, those are some of my big moments. Not the piano one, but it might be a small moment. There's the facts. But the next piece is the reflect part. The reflect. Jesus asks them to say, how does this fit into your story, which is a part of his story, which is a part of history? You see, this book isn't a dead book. This is a story that was told, and it goes on and on and on in the pages of the lives that you and I live. And so Jesus is saying, how does this moment that you're experiencing right now fit into this story? You see, this whole part of the Bible here wasn't even written when Jesus was telling the story. And what he says to these two guys on the way to Emmaus is, find yourself in the story. Find this moment in the story. How does this have to, what is God doing? Reflect, pay attention. Maybe God's doing more than you realize in this moment. It goes on. That's the second thing we do. So first we observe, then we reflect. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. So now they've stopped at the Kairos moment. They've observed it. What just happened? They've begun to reflect on it to say, What might God be doing here? How might this fit into my story and fit into his story and, you know, and reflecting on you know, some scriptures or some stories that are similar to mine or some things that God's trying to say to me in this moment. And then comes this place that goes a little bit deeper yet. They discuss it with each other. They start to talk about it with each other. And this is really important because so often we don't talk about these things that happen to us. With the people that love us and care for us and have the opportunity to help us to see it. One of the things that has taken me a while to learn, but I've learned it somewhat now, is to go to my friends that I trust that know Jesus and to say, let me tell you something that happened. Now, I don't know if this is God or if this is something else. And I've been looking at it. I've been observing it. I've been reflecting on it. But I need your help. Can you talk me through it? So, Greg... I don't even know what to call Greg. Greg's been a pastor to me. Greg's my friend. Feels like a family member to me. He's a mentor to me. And I think he would say the same things about me. That's our relationship together. So when I'm going through some stuff, just like he called me this morning, can you come preach? I call Greg. I go sit in his office and say, can I process this with you? Can I discuss this with you? Can we pray about this together? Can you help me to pay attention to my life? Because I'm not sure I see it. Help me to see it. But then there's, at this discuss moment, some of us are really good at discussion, aren't we? Like we can discuss, and we can discuss, and we can discuss, and we can discuss all day long, and we can discuss. Then we go, thanks, I feel better, and we can walk away. Right? And nothing ever happens. This is a critical part. So you've already taken the exit. You've already looked at things. You've tried to think about how it fits in the story. You've started to interact with other people about it. Now there's a decision point. Is God asking me to do something different? You see, there's probably at least two paths at this point. Get back on the same road you were on, which is the one that we often take, right? We often just get back into the rut, back into the same thing. Or we say, you know what, God is actually asking me to leave my job that I thought I was going to stay in for the rest of my life. That Kairos moment in January of 2005, within 36 hours I quit my job. It was that clear. Paid attention to it, spoke to several people, including my wife, before I made that decision. Talked to several mentors of mine. And it was really clear. I was supposed to take a step. But it was unclear where the step was going. I literally resigned my job 36 hours later, and I stayed in that job for another 8 months, having no idea what I was doing next. I was going to leave ministry, all kinds of stuff. I thought I was done with ministry. And it wasn't until June of 2005, so 6 months later, after I'd been rejected from numerous jobs in the secular world and had pursued stuff outside of ministry, it wasn't until June that Tom DeVries called me and said, hey, we have a new position. I'd like you to think about it. And that began my journey here and put me here on this stage today. But sometimes you have to take that step. And I took that scary step, which was really scary. I had no job, had no idea what I was going to do, said I was going to be done. In the scriptures, the word for repent, which is used a lot in the Christian world. Repent, you've heard this if you've been in our churches before. It means to turn around or to change direction. You see, this is the moment of repentance. This is the moment, and repentance isn't a bad thing necessarily about sin. It is. We turn around from our sins. That's one way to use repent. Another way to use repent is to change roads, to go a different path that God is asking us to step into. And that brings us to the last piece of this. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along with? I'm going to skip that. Okay, verse 33 and 34. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, those with them assembled together, and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. So what happened to these two men also appeared to Simon in this period of time. And so there's confirmation going both ways, right? They come back and Peter has now seen Jesus. Then the two of them told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now notice, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. What way were they heading in the beginning of the story? Toward Jerusalem or away from Jerusalem? Away, right? Here's the repentance. They stopped. They observed what was happening. They reflected on it. What might God be doing? And now they had a choice. Do we keep going? Or does God have something different for me? And they decide maybe God has something different for me. But notice, they don't get confirmation until when? I mean, they see Jesus. But tell me, if you're like me and you're in this story, you're kind of like, so am I crazy? So now, remember how crazy we thought the Marys were? What if we go back and tell the 11 because they thought the women were crazy? Now we go back and say the same thing, they're going to think we're crazy. They weren't one of the 11. But notice, they go back and it's confirmed. Peter too has seen Jesus. The confirmation comes after the repentance and after the action. He returned to Jerusalem. See, we've got to act. We've got to take that final loop in the circle. We've got to act. We've got to do something. We've got to respond to Jesus. And here's where, at least for me, I sometimes never get past that last one. I check it out. I see it. People help me see it. But I know the comfortable. I know the road that I've always traveled. I know the thing that I'm used to, and so I don't want to step out in faith on that other thing that seems dangerous and crazy, and I don't know what's going to happen there. What's going to happen in that moment? You see, some moments are just moments in your life. But I believe that there are more moments than we realize that are happening to us every day. And remember I said they weren't expecting to see the resurrected Jesus? And I said this to you last week, whether you heard it or not, I don't know. Are you expecting him? Are you expecting him to show up here today? Are you expecting him to show up this afternoon somehow? Are you expecting him to show up in your daily grind as you go through this next week? Are you expecting Jesus to show up? Because if you're not looking for something, you're not going to see it. If you're not looking for the resurrected Jesus, to be very clear, you're not going to see him. Some of you don't want to believe because you know it'll change your life. And so you're putting blinders on because you don't want to see him. Some of you have seen him and you don't want to look at him. And so, you know, it's like too hard to follow Jesus. So I'm not going to do that. It's going to cost me some things. Some of us are just so about our things, whatever it is, the idols in our life. We don't like to call them that, but the idols in our life, we're so focused on the idols of our life that we actually can't see the Lord of the universe walking right next to us saying, I have a better life for you. I have bigger plans for you. I have more for you. I have joy for you. I have life to the full for you. Hey, I'm screaming in your ear. And there we go. Kronos, 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 Kronos. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. What if Jesus is walking next to you on Baldwin Street, on 28th Avenue, wherever you come from? What if he's walking alongside you and he's shouting in your ear, stop, pay attention, reflect with me a minute on what I'm doing in the world, discuss it with the people who know me, and do something that will change your life? Maybe your mouse moment, not your spouse, maybe that, but maybe it's a mouse moment that you don't expect it to be like it's going to be. Did I expect to meet my wife that way? No. God's going to surprise you sometimes. Often. But you've got to be paying attention. So my challenge to you as you go through this series, dig deep. Dig deep, pay attention. I encourage you before you leave, in your phone, on a piece of paper, whatever, write down those words, write Kairos down, observe, reflect, discuss, act. So that when that moment happens, you know what to do next. Look at what happened. Read some scripture, pray, reflect, think about what this might be doing, and then go to some people you trust, and then make that decision to follow Jesus in the next way. Would you pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you this morning for the many times in my life and the many times in so many people's lives here that we have seen you. I thank you that these two men, including Cleopas, named in the scriptures, saw you, and the story is different. That Simon Peter saw you, that Mary and Mary saw you. And then not only in those moments, but for the last 2,000 plus years, people have been seeing you walking next to them, and their eyes have been opened. I pray, Father, that our eyes would be opened this morning, that we'd be looking for you and not just looking for you, But we would hear you and see you and touch you and feel you and experience you in powerfully new ways, and not just have that experience, because the experience is nothing if we don't do anything about it. But God, that you would help us to stop and observe and reflect and discuss and then act in the way that you've asked us to act, that we'd be obedient, and that truly those moments would become the moments that change everything. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.